Happy Halloween time! I'm Roz Hernandez. I'm a comedian and the host of the paranormal comedy podcast, Ghosted by Roz Hernandez, produced by Starburns Audio. On my podcast, I talk to famous people, comedians, experts, and listeners about all things paranormal. We're talking Ouija boards, poltergeists, aliens, psychics, demons, Bigfoots, and of course, ghosts. My podcast is weekly all year long, and I've got over 3 years of episodes currently available for all your spooky needs. Recent guests include Patton Oswalt.
But it felt like the minute I walked away from the monitors and I couldn't see anything, that's when the ghost started moving around.
Naomi Ekperigin.
A ghost isn't like somebody, it's not like a return. It's like somebody who was like, I don't feel like leaving.
And Chris Colfer.
Whatever it was slowly just disappeared. And that's when I knew, oh, that was not a person.
Subscribe to Ghosted by Roz Hernandez on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you get podcasts.
Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Orion Sickler, soccer star, Juco. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again. Fuck the Crab Feast.
It's a joint.
To the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Whoa. Another Crab Feast for that ass.
Ass, baby.
Good to touch those pitches, Jay Larson.
Good to get
there
touched,
were a couple of
baby.
Them in there playing. What's up, Feaster Nation? Happy December to everybody. Hope y'all had an amazing November. And now you got a great December, everyone. Jay Larson here, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy across all social media. Next Tuesday, the 11th, I posted on Instagram doing a show called Toasty that I host with our good friends Joel and Mandy, where it's an intimate venue with wine and beer and cheese, and then there's about 5 to 6 comedians who come out and do toasts amongst the crowd. It's super fun. It's different, unique. Come out to that if you're in town. We'd love to have you there. And otherwise, give me a follow on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And the new podcast, we'll talk about that at the end. Of course.
Let's talk about that at the end. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Feasters, I just want to say thank you so fucking much. Legit. My new album, Get a Hold of Yourself, is available now. And I can't thank you all for helping me get it to number. We were number one on the iTunes comedy charts for a minute. And you all helped
me get it to
number one stand-up album on Billboard. So I can't thank you enough for that. You guys are fucking amazing. It's still hanging in there. It's still hanging in there, too. And you can get it right now on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora. You guys have asked me, what's the best way to help me? You can create Ryan Sickler channels on your Spotify and Pandora. That helps a lot. Stream it on Sirius. It's over there as well. And you can get it everywhere you listen to comedy.
Buy it first, then do all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
And if you do use iTunes, you really want to help, you go over to the album, you throw up one of those Feaster 5-star rating reviews from y'all play. It makes me laugh. I can't even bring myself to read those. I can read the podcast ones. I don't know why I can't read the albums. I just feel like, I don't know.
But they're all positive, except for one of them, Blake. Except for one of y'all out there. But there's always a touch in there. Like, just
put, it was me, man.
Just put
me.
This on my master jar. Yeah, like, totally. There's so many Feaster touches. So thank you guys for making it fun. And we did it, man. We for a minute, we were number one on all across the place, player. FTC.
All across the place, baby!
Tuesday and Hey Hey Player shirts and hoodies. I think this is your last week. I looked in the thing, and I think this might be the last week to get them. So.
Yeah, you might as well just get them because the year's almost over. It's a great holiday gift.
It is.
You know?
You can go find the links on thecraftfeast.com and all our social media. And make sure you stay subscribed and follow The Craft Feast on Facebook and Twitter. Why don't you talk about your new show, Jay Larson?
Mentioned it
before. Wait, can I just say this real quick?
Sure, Ryan.
What the fuck? You know what? If you're Christmas shopping, go hit that Amazon link. Just we're wrapping this bitch up. Here's what happened. Let's just tell them real fast.
That's right.
Amazon hit us up and killed our link.
That was a long time.
It was bullshit, a year and a half? Too. Yeah. They said that we were promoting like specials and all this stuff. We never did. We had our own store where we did deals and we donated to breast cancer from our store. We never did anything with Amazon.
We always had the link up, and we always said, if you want to support the... Because that's what they told us we could do.
That's what they told us we could do. Then when we set a new one up, they're like, you need to promote it. We're like, you just told us we weren't allowed to fucking promote it. So, who gives a shit if they pull it now? If you're doing your Christmas shopping, you want to help out the feast on the way out the door, play.
Hit that Amazon.
Your new show, Jay.
My new show is going to be called The Throughline Podcast. It will be available on this feed for all of January on Tuesdays, and it'll be simulcast at its new link, which will be available soon. And so please tune in on your Tuesdays in January, and then subscribe over the new channel. Each week I'll have two guests on. We'll be discussing a certain topic, but the interviews will be much more than just what the topic is. For example, we're doing a vinyl episode with Marc Maron and Jimmy Greenwood. Jimmy Greenwood owned a bunch of vinyl shops in the 80s and is a super interesting guy. And, you know, Maron, of course, is a big vinyl guy and a podcaster as well. But then the beauty is you can go to my Patreon and then get the full interviews. If you liked the little segments you heard on the Throughline, you can go to Patreon and get the Throughline full interviews with each guest. So essentially you get three podcasts in a week for checking those out. We've got some great episodes with Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson. We're doing a true crime episode with her and Michael Kelly from House of Cards and Adam Caton Holland on Binoculars. A lot of cool stuff. Ira Glass is doing one on storytelling, so there'll be a lot of great guests, a lot of interesting topics, and it'll be a little bit of comedy, a little bit of introspection, a lot of different stuff. So,
is
please.
That introspection?
Introspection.
Is that right?
Well, it's going to be comedy, but at the same time, we're going to be discussing things
I think you
introspectively.
Might have just, some new shit you might be discussing.
Yo, man, I'm trying to use introspection, man.
I mean, it might be a real word, but I'm going to go ahead. I tell you right now, I'd throw my Scrabble dictionary up and risk losing my turn on that one here. Somebody want to look up introspection?
This interviewer uses introspection to get his information. Sickle, tell us about...
My new podcast, The Honeydew, will be premiering on the first week of...
Somebody already emailed us and said, what the fuck are you talking about, Sickler? I love honeydew.
Well, that's the whole point of the honeydew. It's a perfectly good fruit that most people just throw away. I was a perfectly good person. You were a perfectly good person, but we were thrown away by some people.
We both have some faults.
I mean, hey, but hey, a couple bruises on honeydew. You know what I'm saying?
You drop it sometimes in the store. You still buy it.
It's going to be on Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky's new network. They're calling it YMH. It's just a Your Mom's House umbrella over there, and I'm very excited to go over there and work with them. It'll be on Wednesdays, sliding it down the dial. Make sure you stay subscribed. It'll be right here. We're going to be talking to people. It's going to be storytelling, but we're going to be talking to people about, like, it'd be great to have, like, Pete Holmes come on and talk about his first divorce and how he just thought it was the end of everything. And here he is now, three seasons into fucking...
an HBO show.
Yeah, an HBO series, and married with a new baby, you know? So I want to talk about those tough times and those rough times and laugh in the face of it. And,
you mean times?
Well, I mean introspection, and
I love it, man. I think that's fantastic.
So stay tuned, stay right here. You'll get the honeydew every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, We have some great sponsors back in. It's the holiday season, everybody. And you know there's going to be plenty of Christmas parties. And if you want the bragging rights for the most talked about sweater at the holiday party, you know what you need to
no
do.
Doubt.
Ugly sweaters is key, or cool sweaters, holiday sweaters, but Tipsy Elves has all of it. You name it, they got it. We both got them.
I got a cat one with bells and bows all over the front.
I just got a crazy Santa one, man, and I wore it last week to an early one. You know, everyone tries to get
you
it
did?
In. Everyone tries to get it in early because
yeah.
they know once December comes around. And it was a joke, dude. I had, hands down, every single person like, dude, loving that sweater. I'm like, you know how I do it, baby. And it's just like, it's just fun once in a while to be the guy that everyone's like, you're best dressed for something that's terribly dressed. You know what I mean? It's a great time to do it. And it's, you know, it's not, these aren't sweaters that like your grandmother used to make for you. They're like, they're very comfortable.
Legit.
They're
roomy.
Funny. Yeah, and they like fit well.
Yeah,
it's
they
not
do.
Like usually sometimes when you order stuff online, it's like this crazy weird fit. These are not. They're like, they're firm. I don't know if firm is the right word, but it felt firm on me. It's because I've been working out, baby. After you grab, go get a sweater, grab some for friends because your friends are going to love you. And the best one is to buy for your buddy who's like, wife doesn't like you. That's who you buy one
oh,
of these
yeah.
for.
And they've got Hanukkah. It's not just Christmas.
It's not.
It's holiday.
And it's
yeah.
not just sweaters. They got suits for guys. They
college
have,
stuff, I believe. Right?
Yeah. Interactive sweaters with beer pong, cornhole on them. I mean, you could be playing cornhole off your sweater. And tees and cozy onesies as well. And for women, there's leggings.
Cozy onesies.
Yoga pose or lounge around with a cup of spiked eggnog if you want.
Get a little tipsy with them elves.
Get all you want to do. Here's you won't find any more hilariously awesome designs anywhere else, so be sure to order from Tipsy Elves in time for your ugly Christmas sweater party. Right now, our listeners get 20% off. That's a good cut right there. 20% is a
that
good
is.
Cut. Off tipsyelves.com when you use our code FEAST at checkout. That's 20% off anything on your order by using the code FEAST at checkout. 20% off, site-wide discount.
That's a smart thing to do for the holidays, but you know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes.
Mm-mm-mm.
But you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/crab.
Tell them, Sickle!
Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. It's a powerful matching technology they have that scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and also actively invites them to apply, right? So you get qualified candidates fast. There's no more sorting through the wrong resumes. There's no more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. Kind of half of the feast
half
there,
of the feast,
but that's
baby.
A lot, man. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab, C-R-A-B, ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Well, one of the smartest things we ever did was book this next guest in our final 10.
In our final
four. Final four.
Final
Woo,
four.
Final four, baby. One of our most requested guests from the time he came on the first time to the time after that. Every time he's been on, it's been a fan favorite. Instant classics. Stoked to have him back. I said, I don't know if someone you'd want to have marry your daughter.
But definitely somebody you would want to try to help you kill your father.
100%.
No doubt.
Or to go to a sporting event with ladies.
Or to go play roulette without a ball.
You know what I mean?
Because he threw it at the fucking guy's chest.
Whatever you need, he's got it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited to have him back. You've wanted him for a while. He's back. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Back to the Crab Feast.
Mr. Brent Tolbert.
Brent Tolbert.
Welcome back
to the Crab Feast.
Guys.
Clap yourself.
BT, baby, BT.
Brad Tobler flew in for this from Denver.
Let me get
Thank
that bacon
you.
And tomato,
kind
baby. BT.
I couldn't miss it, man. I was honored to be one of the last 10, and I love this podcast from the beginning. So
wow.
I love to... let's do it one last time here.
You know, there's been certain,
welcome back, brother.
Certain guests over the year, I think, have kind of defined the podcast, you know? And you're definitely one of them. Like, what we started doing, and it was like when you... You know, when we had you on the first time, Jen Kirkman the first time,
Mick
Josh
Betancourt.
Adam Myers, Mick, those were stories that were like, holy shit, like that's it makes it so much more fun for us, you know?
Well, it was cool for me because I picked up a lot of fans. Obviously, the Feasters are the best. It helped me get this is not happening. That yeah. on Comedy Central. That never happens without you guys.
Get comfortable.
It, thank you for saying that. You guys helped me more than anyone else.
That wouldn't be happening. You know what I'm saying?
This is not happening.
Stop, babe.
Without the craft.
Yeah, you guys helped me. You guys helped me more than anyone else did out here, so thank you guys. And you've helped me have so many shows interrupted by the crazy feasters. They just love to yell it out.
It.
At the,
good,
at the,
what do they
good.
Yell at you?
Just fuck the crab feast, Huff and Dick. let me appraise that player. They'll
let
just
me
yell
appraise that player.
But then they've also...
Oh, it makes me so happy inside.
They've also bringing me gifts. You know, like when I was doing that tour, they'd bring me gas cards and Chipotle cards, and they'd sneak into my shows, and they would just...
Shut up! They'd sneak in. Yeah.
That's, well, I mean, that's what you get.
You know, I loved it.
Taught them all how to do it.
I loved it, man. They would fake laminates, all that, so it's...
Hilarious.
I have not had one bad interaction with the Feasters, and it was... they've been very loyal, and it's crazy sometimes, too, because... I haven't been on in a while, and I'll see if he's.
That's the
shirt.
Thing. You haven't been on in a minute, so the fact that they're still showing up at your shows and wear and repping Feaster, I bet it's probably a worn one too.
But I'll see a new one sometimes, and I'll be like, "Oh, you guys, you like the Crab Feast?" And they're like, "Yeah, you listen to it." Then I'm like, "Oh yeah, I was on it like once or twice," and then I'll tell them, "You're like, you're Brant Tober, holy shit!" And then I was like, "Oh, this is pretty cool."
That's great.
It's funny because we've been getting, you know, even people that just started listening within the last 6 months or something like that. You know what I mean? They're like, "Oh, I haven't gotten had a chance to go back to listen to all of them," and I'll be like, "Brant Tober, you know, I'll just list the ones that they have to go listen to."
If you're not, you really should be a part of the Feaster fan page, not our fan page, the one they created. There's a lot of them, and they all say, "What's your favorite episode?" And you're mentioned time and time again.
Yeah, I get, and the coolest artwork, and I mean, just cool. I'll just wake up and be like, "Holy shit, this is like awesome!"
Feasters
so,
are the shit.
You guys, you created quite an empire, so it's
and
cool.
For, the great thing about Brant Tober and is that as big as a derelict as you've been in your past, you're just always such a great guy and always have like a good perspective.
I mean, I'm hoping you got some of the derelict continued. You're a sweetheart.
I got
you're
a sweetheart.
He's like a Robin Hood of sorts. You know what I mean? Like he breaks
more
in places
of sorts,
and you're like, yeah, all right, yeah, I'll let that go.
I like that. I consider myself like Robin Hood. Like I'll rob. I'm very anti-corporate.
Yeah.
I would never rob a mom and pop, but if we can, you know, the bigger, the better for me. I don't, I'm very anti-corporate, but I had to dig deep because I'm getting old and I haven't I haven't done anything bad.
Before you share anything.
It doesn't have to be bad.
Promote your social media, plug whatever you want, your book, whatever you want.
My main thing is you can just pick up my book. If you've heard this podcast, The Old Stories, it's all in a book. It's called Free Roll. It's on Audible, Kindle, iTunes, Amazon. I'm so proud of it. I worked my butt off on it for almost 2.5 years.
Can we get that in paperback?
Paperback.
Okay.
You can get it anywhere books are sold. And
he's like, "Listen, man, I hate corporate America. You can get it at Amazon, iTunes. You can get it at any Trader Joe's."
Well, you can if you can steal it from Barnes & Noble or whatever, I won't be mad at you. Just
Barnes & Noble's the only bookstores we got left.
Yeah, just read it, and I hope you like it.
Is that it for real?
No. Colorado, actually, is a great bookstore state.
Yeah, they've got some cool, like, tattered book.
Not hold on. They're thriving. In small town, like in Boulder, there's a great bookstore in Boulder. There's great bookstores all around Denver. I went to a couple when I was out on that run. I love an old bookstore. Little towns like Montpelier, Vermont, you're going to find a great bookstore. You know, we still have the biggest bookstore in downtown.
I've been there.
Montpelier?
Mm-hmm.
The book
capital, isn't it?
Sure is, baby.
I've been there, yeah. I've been to the capital of Vermont. I went and had Ben and Jerry's. Mm-hmm. I was there as well.
I've met him.
So I haven't met him.
I
met Ben.
I got in a verbal... I got in a verbal altercation with Bernie Sanders over a parking space.
No, you did.
I sure did.
For real?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, like, dude.
Screw my story.
How the fuck have you ever let that go?
But yeah, so you can get it. And if you want, if you've already got it, just go throw a review. You guys are great at the reviews. I'm on Amazon. I got like 115 5-star reviews, and right, one lady Feasters. Hit me with a 4-star. I'm like, "Did you not read the book?
Might have slipped. Kill you. She might have slipped."
And then my podcast, The 31. I start doing it again. So we just had episode 100 with Brian Regan, which was awesome.
Hell yeah!
Adam Caton Holland was just on and told incredible stories. So, and I've been doing the podcast again. So, you know, I'm just trying to do that and
keep it going, man. Because you know, people will listen, but keep it going.
I try, but I get very frustrated. And then I'm in Denver and Vegas. And
yeah,
if you're in Denver, come see me in Denver. I spend most of my time in Denver now. I'm trying to stay off the road and get a family.
Sounds like country stuff.
Like you do.
Spend most of my time in Denver.
All of it.
Yeah, so. Kid will do that for you.
Yeah, I want a kid more than I want to be on the road. So, and I don't want to get a kid while I'm on the road. So.
That's good to hear. You don't want a road baby?
Don't want a road good, baby, man. That I
road
see.
Road baby! You keep calling me.
Listen, I'm swinging through for a Thursday through Sunday. I want to see my son, my road baby.
Hey,
I'll be back next year with a whole new hour.
I knew a dude in this business. I'm not going to name names, but he used to make trips out to Los Angeles on someone else, like another company's dime, to make sure he saw his road baby.
How
road baby!
How did he do it on a company's dime?
Because he worked for a company.
And he'd make work
and he
out
would
here?
Make work out here that wasn't real. And then come see his how, road baby!
How often would he see his road baby?
I'd say once every year and a half, two years, something like that.
That's it?
I don't know.
Road baby! Road baby's going to need some motherfucking therapy, dude. You
don't. Dude, road baby's full tilt.
I like this song we're working on here. So maybe I'll get a road baby.
You don't just say that. You say shit out loud like that, it's going to happen. You're going to
sound terrible.
You're going to be like, I got a road baby. You'll be on the honeydew talking about your road baby.
Pick a good town, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say, hope my road baby's in San Diego or
yeah,
somewhere.
Exactly.
Now.
You better keep Santa Barbara. You know, keep it close.
I hope my road baby's in San Diego. All right, man.
It's so been fun. We done?
Wait a minute. So you told me, so, you know, Tolbert, you're living in downtown now, Denver.
Yeah.
Across the street from
Coors
Broncos
Field.
And Coors?
Yeah, right. I'm directly across the street from Coors Field. So.
Wow. Are you getting into a lot of games?
Yeah. I just...
You snuck into something recently, I saw.
I snuck in on Sunday to the Broncos Steelers, which has gotten very easy. I'll give a quick little recommendation. So now the Broncos, they only do phone. You can only have a ticket on your phone.
Only?
Every ticket's on the
phone.
What
if you don't have a phone?
You don't get to go to the Broncos.
No,
you can't print one up at home?
No.
And bring it?
It's all phone.
Paperless.
Yeah, all paperless, all phone. So it was. I had a feeling it'd be fairly easy. And
hey, man, listen. I got my ticket on my phone, but I don't have my road baby's ticket.
My road baby's under three. Does he need a ticket or he can sit on my lap?
Just check it, man.
I just have my road baby on my lap. But
it's that easy. So,
you know, Case Keenum.
Does my road baby need a lammy?
A lammy. Right. Yeah, not that lammy. He needs a lammy, not a laminate.
Nah, I mean his lammy to go to sleep, man. It's nap time for my road baby, you know?
So I had a feeling that it wouldn't be that hard. And so all we did is I had a buddy who had seven tickets, and then I just had him text me a ticket. And then when I went up there and they beeped it, and they're like, this has already been in. And I was like, oh, crap. I bet he sent me the wrong one. Can I have him send me more? And then they sent me like four more, and we tried those. And I was like, shit, I don't know. What? Maybe he just had him zap them all on accident. And they're like, can you call him? Tell him to come down here. Then my buddy just came down and he showed him like the seven tickets on his phone. And he's like, maybe they just zapped him. I don't know what happened because I sent him one. And they're just like, all right, you're good. And just
what quarter did you get in?
But the mistake I made was, oh, right at the beginning of the game.
Wow.
Fucking throw out the first pitch, dude.
No,
at the Steelers game.
It was like maybe
throw
at the
pitches.
12-minute mark of the first quarter. But then the mistake I made is I was pretty drunk, and then I was just started handing out my business card to everybody like, hey, thanks for doing that. If you want to come to a show, I'll leave you tickets at Comedy Works. Just add me on Facebook. And then, like a dumbass, I got on Facebook and just wrote, snuck into the game again.
My
but I don't think
God.
They'll care. You know, what are they going to say?
This guy. Let's go right over your seat and remove you.
So I snuck into that. I've snuck in. The big one I did lately since the last time I've been on was I snuck into game one of the Stanley Cup Finals in Vegas. When it was when that
Capitals,
ticket was like
yeah.
huge ticket, so I.
All right, so
how
walk,
did you get
yeah,
in there?
Seriously, because
that was a tough.
Walk
one.
Us through that.
Oh yeah, really?
Yeah, because like I said, I usually use the smoker's entrance. What I've told on here before, where you just get a ticket and all that, but the smoker's entrance at the Vegas stadium is on the second level. So I was walking around, which
brought
was
a ladder.
Yeah. No. Brought my road baby. No.
No, that's not.
So
road,
I was
that's
sitting.
Just my road baby.
I just went early, and I was like, I got to figure out, because I'd never been to a hockey game. I didn't know how they did it, and so I was sitting outside, which was super embarrassing, because I used to date a girl that would have been able to get me in easy. She was like second in command, MGM Entertainment.
Oh, really?
So I'm sitting there plotting how to get in, and then she just walks by with her entourage, and I just have to duck my head down like, oh, I really fucked this up. And I don't even know why this girl hates me. I don't know what happened. So this girl was...
Oh, you don't? I'll tell you what happened.
Roulette ball. Road bandit! She got a road bandit.
Because
got a sitter right now. Oh, God.
So
damn.
We...
Can you get me in? Can you give me fucking 20 an hour for the sitter I got?
Oh, my God. It's your son, you know.
So we dated for like a little bit, and okay. She...
What's a little bit?
Like probably 3 or 4 months. But one time she did this for me. It was my birthday, and she was doing like the iHeart concert in Vegas. And she's like, are you going to come over? And I was like, and I wanted to go see Garth Brooks, and he was playing in like whatever, like 200 miles north of here. What's a big town here? I don't even remember where I drove to.
Sacramento?
No, not that
Fresno?
Bad.
Santa
Fresno?
Barbara?
Fresno. So I was like, I want to go see Garth Brooks. And she's like, how are you going to get in? I was like, I don't know. I'll just probably sneak in. And she's like, hold on, I'll call you back. And then she called me back and she goes, when you get to the stadium, text this number.
Ask for Garth.
You know, you don't.
Fake a heart attack.
That's pretty much what happened. She said, text this number and a lady will come meet you. So I got to the stadium. I'm by myself and I text this number.
Trish!
Yeah. She hear one right
there. Trisha! Right here, girl.
He's got to give us the last name. He's a good son of a bitch.
That's a great Trisha reference.
She don't see me.
Hey, yo!
She don't see me at
so
all.
Then, hey, hold up your road, baby, real quick.
The girl tells me, come to the front of the line. There's all these people lined up to see Garth. She said, come to the front of the line and come to the door. And I get to the door, and there's this big black lady security guard, and she's like, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? I was like, they told me to come here. And then this lady just comes out, grabs me by the arm, and looks at the security guard, and she's like, he's with Garth. And I was like,
whoa.
Holy shit, I'm with Garth? And then she took me in, and she gave me a ticket in the front row.
Damn.
And the front row's all girls.
Of course it was.
And then me. So security guards kept coming over and be like, hey, man, you're not supposed to be here. And then I'd show them my ticket, and they'd be like, this doesn't make any sense.
You know, Garth's like singing, looking down at the girl, like pans the
brand. I think this guy might be Garth, bro, baby. Grew up.
Yeah, I had my belt buckle on. So she was the hookup, but then so I saw her, which is embarrassing. I was like, part of me is like, I should just give up because this is going to be embarrassing when my ex-girlfriend catches me trying to sneak into this impossible game. But I was like, let me keep trying. So I keep walking around.
And what are you looking for?
Yeah,
just like a side door somewhere to get in. So I had.
But what if you get in the side door and it's like the kitchen? I mean, have you ever snuck in the side? What's
like,
the
trap tip up. Let's go, guys. Let's still wait.
It's just the Stanley Cup. The guy's looking at it.
I'm good in those moments. I'm good once I'm in. It's the getting in.
Let's say I stumbled in the kitchen.
What's the craziest door you've stumbled in?
You know, it's. I haven't had to go through anything like nothing crazy like that. Where if I was in the kitchen, though, if I stumbled in the kitchen, I would just go, oh, I'm not supposed to be in here, but I would just go the direction towards whatever I'm trying to get to instead of like,
yeah,
I'll go, oh, whoops, I came in the wrong door. I'm supposed to be over here. And then I just, like Ryan said, if I just get in the door. So I was pacing around trying to figure out.
And y'all got it to sell out in the parking lot. You got a flat.
Out, just hustle out of there. Throw that out and get it. Drop that bomb in the room and hustle out.
Like those guys are parked right next to the stadium.
So then I just kept circling trying to find a secret entrance or some way to get in, and then I'm on,
secret entrance.
I'm on the back side, and this SUV.
This is Denver.
No, this is in Vegas.
Oh, this is the
Capitals Stanley Cup.
Game.
Yeah,
right,
and game one. So it was the hottest ticket in Vegas, probably in Vegas history.
And they're a new team that year. And
whoa! You saying there's more people going that than Copperfield?
Yeah,
come on, baby.
Well, okay, maybe not Copperfield, but so I circle around, and then this black SUV pulls up. And right in front of me, while I'm trying to figure out a plan, out gets Von Miller and this girl. And as a huge Bronco fan, I was like, and I see Von start going. I was like, I'm just going to follow Von Miller into this thing. So I'm standing behind him, and he sees me looking at him, and he takes a picture. And then he tells this dude a story. This dude's like, hey, Von, how are you? He's like, it's been an up and down. He's like, I lost 125 last night, but I'm up 150 this morning. And I'm just like, holy shit. So I'm waiting for my chance to
talk.
That's
probably 100,000, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking so. Yeah.
I'm waiting
pretty sure it's not $125.
Yeah. I'm waiting for my chance to talk to Von and try to tell him, yo, I live in Denver, comedian, blah, blah, blah. And then the biggest cock blocker of all comes over. The Raiders owner, the weird dude with the haircut, Al Davis's son. And he's like, hey, Vaughn, how are you? And shakes his hand, and it's all weird. And then these people come and swoop Vaughn and take him in this private thing. And I'm like,
secret entrance.
That was my chance, the secret entrance. So then I walk back around, and I'm pacing. And then so...
You're by yourself.
By myself, which is the only way to do it. If you have someone with you, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
I recommend never sneaking in with somebody else. Tell them to buy a ticket. But then so now most of these arenas, you'll go through security... And then there's a area in between the security and the tickets.
Yeah.
So then I go through the security, and then I said, hey, I'm waiting for someone to bring my ticket down. Can I just wait right here? And then I just start talking to this girl. And then
what girl?
Just like, a girl that in charge
there?
Of
scanner.
The yeah. So I start talking to her, and she's like, you know, I'm just being charming, making small talk. This is the biggest game. I'm so excited. I flew in. I'm a comedian across the street. I always say comedian because I love that shit. And then so we're going back and forth, and she's like, where's your friend? I go, I always blame the cell service in there. I was like, I'm texting my friend. I don't know if he gets it because there's so many people here.
His name's Le'Veon. Yeah. I'm not sure if he's going to show up or not here. I'm waiting on this guy. I think the whole city of Pittsburgh waiting yeah. on him.
So then I text back and forth, and I always just pretend like I'm texting. And then eventually it was getting close to the puck dropping, and she's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know. I really want to get in there. And I said, can my friend send a ticket and then just see if it – will that work? Because I don't know if you can get down here. And then they sent me a ticket, and then I just showed it to her. And I think she just hooked me up because I was talking to her for so long. But then she just, like, pressed her button to do it. She goes, all right, you're good to go. And I was like, cool. And I just wrote, because there's no way it should have worked.
Yeah.
So then I texted my friend, and I was like, hey, the ticket thing worked. So then I sent him a ticket out, and then he's like, are you sure? It'll be embarrassing if I go through. I go, swear to God, it just worked. And then he went, and of course it didn't work for him. And then I walked in, and I found a good spot, and then Lil Wayne came and just cut me off. Not Lil Wayne, who's the little DJ guy? Something little. I don't know. Anyway, but it was an incredible game, and then they won in overtime, and that's probably one of the
coolest.
Wait,
how do you find a good spot? Because I would be so, you know what I mean? You can't.
Yeah, where'd you find an open spot?
So this is like standing room only, so I found a good standing spot, like in one of the
seats?
Corners.
No.
Not, for a game like that, there probably
because that's what, 20,000?
Yeah. First of all, do you want to even go sit in an empty seat and wait for someone to tell you?
Where's
your ticket? This is my seat. You never want
to
do that.
We went to Baltimore this last game. There's a dude sitting there. I go, you're in our seats. He goes, okay, I'll let you have it. I was like, they're our seats. We're going to go ahead and take them. But they move right behind you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or they move right over
and
here.
And they make you feel like shit, like you're not a real fan.
Yeah, like you did that.
You weren't there in time or whatever.
Right. Yeah. We were there in time.
I hate that part. But like with the Broncos, I have a buddy that owns a box, so if I get in, I can just go to the box. So I just have to get in. But in that game, I just wanted to be.
How good of a buddy is he that you got to sneak in the building to get to his box? And you got to knock on the door. You don't have a code.
You know, he hooks it up a lot, but then sometimes, you know, he can't. So he's just like, if you can get to the box, then you're fine. You know, people worry about the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
You know, this box is humongous. It could fit 200 people,
right.
And there's usually like 40, but it's through his work and his job, so he lives in fear when I'm like, fine. But
and it's you know?
Yeah, so and then when I get in there, I'm nice and tell people I'm a comedian, come to Comedy Works. I use this comedy thing all the
time. Listen, we had to kill the Jamba Juices this week, so settle down in there, man.
Hey, talk to your buddy that keeps showing these games. He keeps taking hot dogs, trading them for tickets.
guys taking side bets in here. Walter with 20 grand last week.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
You could run numbers in there. Everything.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, don't pay them.
So, yeah, I want to go to Fleetwood Mac on Monday, so I think I'm going to try to tell
in Denver?
Them, yeah. And it's so, we'll see. But
you going to try to sneak in?
If I don't get a ticket, I've been, you know, a lot of people give, I have a lot of cool friends that, you know, as you guys know, over time you just meet people that do cool shit. So I get a lot of hookups. So, and they think when I give them comedy tickets, it's like a big deal.
Right.
When I'm like, no, I need you there. You see those 100
totally.
You couldn't have brought 98 other people, but they're like, thank you so much. I've said it on here before. If I'm doing a show, just hit me up if you're a feaster. I'll give you free tickets. And they're always like, it comes out of your check. I'm like, no, I get the same shitty check regardless. Yeah. So
some people spend 60 minutes watching TV. And some head out for a 10K run. Just like retirement, 60 minutes means different things to different people. At Bank of Ireland, we're all about your financial well-being. And 60 minutes is all it takes to start a pension that can make your retirement lifestyle achievable. Now's the time to fund your future. Book a phone or virtual meeting today at bankofireland.com/pensions. Bank of Ireland. Begin. Revenue limits, terms and conditions apply. Bank of Ireland is a tied agent of New Ireland Assurance Company, PLC, trading as Bank of Ireland Life for life assurance and pensions business. Members of Bank of Ireland Group. Bank of Ireland trading as Bank of Ireland Insurance and Investments is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
But it's been, so I've been sneaking into a few things, but I've been trying to get a story before I got here, but it's hard, man. I'm all grown up.
That's crazy, man. I mean, I've never snuck into a major sporting event or any kind of major event. I love that you just go for it all the time.
Yeah, it's not hard.
I'm trying to think of
how's the.
I snuck backstage to meet BB King. And then also, I used to sneak into. I was good at it when I was in college because when I was interning at that radio station, I knew the Lammy. You could grab bumper stickers and fucking stand out there and hand them out like you're an intern and then just walk into a door. You know what I mean? They would let you, if they saw you stand out there. And
yeah.
Same thing. Shoot the shit. There you go. I'm just interning for the station.
My buddy in a band, he told me what I should do. And I'm going to try it one of these times is you get the laminate and then you just put a bag of ice on each shoulder. And then you just walk in the back and no one will stop you, he said.
Shit's going to melt, man. I ain't got time.
Yeah, if you have a – and it's like – he's like, it's a $4 investment. Just throw a bag of ice on each shoulder, have the laminate hanging in the middle, and just walk right through. And he's like, you'll get in 99 out of 100 times.
But not through the front door.
You could put your earbuds in and act like you're on a call. Yeah, like, I'm bringing it in right now. I'm coming right now. I had to go around a long way. Shit's all over my shoulders, man.
But the other thing I always tell people, there's no risk. All you're going to do is get caught and have a moment of embarrassment. But it's like, everyone's like, what if you get in trouble? I'm like, what? There's no trouble. They'll just say, dude,
shoo you
get
away.
Out of here. Yeah. There's no, the risk reward is so great of like, to, you know, get in for free and the adrenaline of doing it. And then if they catch you, it's like, go across the street and watch it in a sports bar if you have to. Yeah, but you don't, but if you really try, and it's just being nice to people, honestly. If you're just like, I never just go for it. If I walk up to somebody, hey, you know, like with the phone. The phone thing helped because it's a new thing. So I'm like, hey, this phone thing, trying it. I don't know, am I doing this right? And then they try to be nice. I'm always very self-deprecating. I'm like, I'm an idiot. I don't know how to do shit like this. And they're like, then they just feel bad for you. And then, you know, just don't post about it.
That scares me for getting on airplanes, man.
Wow, I don't know about that.
Just using that scanner, like.
Well, that's how I get.
That's what I'm saying. But if you can hustle a stadium, sooner or later there's going to be a lax fucking guy going, go in. I don't give a shit.
There's never going to be. You never. Going to be like. I'm telling you, it's my seat. And then fucking told me, like, I don't know, man.
It's the Southwest, man. I don't know what you're talking about. It's all ours.
Yeah. Well,
just all. Like your stadium story, I just keep moving up rows. Oh, this is you. Sorry, my fault.
Oh, my bad.
We're fine.
I'm in 13, I think.
I'm telling you, man, this is my seat. Well, really, because I'm the co-pilot. Well,
we'll see about that. So you mentioned Denver and Vegas. What are you doing? What do you go back to Vegas for? Do you go back to visit people? Do you go back to do shows? All of it? What are you doing?
I've just been going back to do shows. I'll still do the MGM a lot. And
what's that? Brad's Club?
Brad's Club. So Brad
you Garrett's do a been, week, don't you? Like one every night or something? So what's the schedule?
Every night.
One show for seven nights?
For 7 nights. So it's rough. But
that is rough.
When Brad's there, he's the coolest. And, you know, it's different for me now because I don't do anything. Because I had so many crazy times there. And that's what, when I was driving down here, I was like, I got to come up with some stories because I haven't done anything crazy lately. And then I was like, shit, I can just go back to my Vegas stories because I know I told a bunch of them. But then I call my best friend. I go,
He hit me up, by the way, and he goes, hey, is there any way I can get that live when we did in Irvine so I don't have to repeat stories? And I was like, we posted it. It's free now. You can get
it. I just didn't want to tell the same stories. But so then I called my best friend, and I was like, hey, what Vegas stories do you remember? And then he started telling me stories. I was like, oh, we got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, nice.
So there's a lot. And it's crazy because it's a Baltimore guy that where this all comes from.
I already know this is going to be degenerate.
My best friend, Justin, worked in a sushi place. In the Palms, back when the Palms was the hottest place, and
was he a chef or what?
He's just a server. So he lived in Vegas. It's a different life. The servers are like strippers because they make so much money.
Yeah.
So they work. He'd walk with $400 or $500 cash a night. Then the whole staff goes out every night. So my introduction to this dude from Baltimore that I'll just call him Franco. I'm not going to say his real name for purposes.
You're not gonna believe this though.
Franco, get your real name.
Get in here. Bring Julio with you, baby.
So my introduction to Franco was they let me be in their fantasy.
This is the Baltimore guy, Franco?
Baltimore guy, the biggest degenerate.
Working at the Palms when the Maloofs are on the spot.
And it's the hottest place
I remember the ghost
world.
Bar at the top or something.
So they
right?
worked in the sushi place right next door. So I would go just hang out with the crew when they got off. So then they invited me to be in the fantasy football league. So this is my introduction to Franco. He's the commissioner of the league, and he just has all these rules.
I love how he's talking about it like it's some
commissioner.
And then so he has all these rules, and I get there. And, of course.
For the draft?
For the draft. And I've done drafts, but I've never had a draft like this. So you had to pay $200 to get in the draft. $150 was your league fees. $50 for the hooker raffle.
Oh my god!
Hooker raffle
at the end of the and then the, and these guys are all servers, so they're just this dude had a ball of cocaine look like a baseball, and they're just chipping shit off it. Doing
and where is this?
So it's in a Scarface fucking league.
It's in
here.
Like a catered.
Bronco, man.
It's in a catered back room. The first time I did it was in a catered back room at the Rio. So you, everyone has to, you have to pay $50 for the hooker raffle, no matter what. That's part of your league fees. And then
how many guys? 10, 12?
12. So then at the end, a hooker comes. They call a hooker towards the end of the draft, and then she comes and puts the last name on the board to signify that the draft's over. Then everybody writes their name on a ping pong ball, and then you put it in the bucket, and then the hooker takes them out one by one until she gets to the last dude, you know, the last two, and then someone wins. Now, if let's say you won and you're married and you don't want to do it, then you get to raffle her off right in front of her. It's the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen. So you'd go, I don't want to fuck this girl I'm married. Who will give me like $100?
Oh, you can't be like, I'll take your fourth round pick.
Yeah, or I guess you could have.
She's going to shoot ping pong balls out of a pussy. Whichever one lands is on the couch is who gets her. Okay, so, that's how we're going to do it. That's where I thought you were going with the ping pong balls.
No, I guess she could have.
I thought this was about to get Vegas crazy.
So then they raffle her off, which is so... It's crazy. And then she just stands there, just dressed like a fucking hooker. And then someone will win her. It's usually one of the, like, kitchen staff gets her. And then every year, so I was in this league like 7 years. And every year, the hooker would go upstairs and just fucking rob whoever it was, steal a watch or anything. And I don't blame him because the disrespect was just so bad making him do all of this shit. And then, so that's when I met him. And then, like, the following year, one time we did it at a Hooters, which is a bad idea to do your fantasy draft in public because then a bunch of idiot dudes will come over and check out the draft board. So we're doing it, and there's like three other dudes just waiting for their draft. So they come over, and they start talking shit about one guy's picks. Like, who picked third? He's shitty. And this dude's like, hey, man, just beat it, all right? And they give him like a warning. These dudes come back over, get more drunk, come back over, start grading our board again. Three of these dudes from my fantasy league just like stand up fucking ready to brawl in the middle of this Hooters, grabbing like steak knives and shit because these guys are like
over fantasy
ready and, like, don't fucking
here hold my rope baby let me fucking kick these guys
they're like don't fucking
put my rope,
come over here and say
wheel,
one
bro.
More word about our draft board. There's about to be a big ass brawl, and that time was I saw a waitress do the most fucking sneaky shit ever because we ran a full tab for everybody, so at the end it was like $900. But then she autograted it, but then she drew like a Hooters owl and the words thank you over the autograt, thinking that we wouldn't see
and
it,
get
but
the
they're
double
all
tip.
They're all servers, and they're like, hey bitch, come over here, like look at this. We're not idiots. So that's how I met this dude.
Put your titties away, come on here, look at it.
So then from that moment, Franco, like he would
all right, listen, this year no hooker. We're gonna do limitless wings, okay? Everybody chip in.
Last year it was hookers. This year it's titties and pantyhose and some wings with the elbow on it. I don't like that. I don't like Hooters wings.
Nobody
keep that elbow on it.
Nobody decided maybe take Franco out of his position. Maybe take him
down. It was him. And I'd say the worst thing, the maddest we ever got at Franco was he'd take fucking forever to pick.
This is the Baltimore guy. Let's not forget.
Yeah. And then, he's, you don't really, it was his league. You know, if you didn't like it, you just were out. But one time,
you leave.
The closest we got so fucking mad was that we would do a drawing to see who got the first pick, and Franco got it one year. And then we got to the draft, and he still took like 12 minutes. We're like, come on,
Janikow.
For a week, you knew that you were going to be the first pick. What do you mean
we were so mad
at him. So, but he was a crazy dude, and that was my intro to him. And then from then, we would all start hanging out. And he, here's a crazy story that he would hate that I'm telling, but he was so insecure about his nipples, he thought they were stuck out too long. So he went and had a surgically,
straight up. My right leg went dead straight when you
some
said
long
that.
Nipples, man.
And he was like,
I have two, but they've left them. And you know what I'm saying? They didn't go
maybe
shave
they
them down.
Well, when they start like going directions.
Fuck.
Yeah, so his nipples were so long that he went and had them like surgically cut down.
We talking like a quarter inch, or like we talking long?
I don't know.
We never got them.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. But he let it slip out one time, and he never should have. But then we would
maybe they popped out. Sounds more like they popped out, not slipped out.
You don't mention that shit in fancy football league.
So we would, and then we'd all go to his house on Sundays.
Shut your big nipples up, Rocco. Get that whore out of here.
Maybe you would have fucking won this week had your nipple been running the ball.
They told you Hooters and your third pick sucked. You didn't want to listen, Rocco.
Your picks are terrible. Your nipples are unbelievable, dude.
So on Sundays, we'd always go to his house unless, and he was always just doing crazy shit. Like one time he got tired of this car, and I don't know if this is an old Baltimore move, but he was like, he wanted to get the insurance money.
Hold on.
Sounds like it already.
I used to work at a junkyard. I've told this plenty of times where when I was 16, I didn't ask questions. I was so stoked to drive that I didn't know why I was constantly being taken to this Walmart parking lot and being asked to drive this car in the parking lot back to the junkyard. And I'm like, after like the fifth or sixth one, I was like, why are the keys always in these? That's exactly what it was. It was going back to the junkyard to disappear and be crushed and sent off to fucking Guatemala for metal scrap.
Well, so that's what he should have done. But his plan was he poured gas on like the driver's side, and he was driving down the freeway, and then he wanted to just pull over and light it, and then have it like the car just blew up.
He gassed it first, sat in it,
drove with it, and then as he was getting, so he had like the gas container in his. So then his plan was, and he's driving, and then he starts pouring it on like the passenger side. And then he pulls over and just like lights it on fire and hops out to like make it look like his car.
Get my road baby!
My road baby's
in the car seat in the back.
So then he lights it on fire and it starts burning. And then some good Samaritan pulls over and jumps out with a fire extinguisher. And he's like, "No, no!" And this guy's like, "No, I promise."
He's saying no.
He's like, "Get away from the car! It's gonna blow up!" And the guy's like, "No, I got
Don't
it.
Worry, I'm a fireman, guy."
That is unreal.
So he was so mad.
The dude saved the
he
car.
He saved the car and screwed his whole plan. He wanted to kill.
That's why you crush it and get rid of it out of the country, right there. That's why.
So he would just always do. He had a Baltimore guy who he swears he would just rob like all the coin machines like up and down the coast. I forget what he called him, but he swears this guy bought a house with just quarter money from going from Baltimore like down to Florida, just
fucking
robbing
shaking
all the
phones
coins.
And
yeah. But he would do, and he was the most, he's the craziest. Another thing he would do that would make.
Can I tell you something real quick? I'm going to share. Yeah. I don't think I've said this yet, but just when I was just back in Baltimore, I'll tell you what happened in Baltimore. This is only, and it's legit when I say it's literally the only city in the world this happened. So they also have the birds and the lime scooters and shit. Mm-hmm. But the racket there that people are doing is. It's not funny, but it's funny. When you scoot by, they shove you off of it. They just take your shit, whatever you put on the fucking thing. That's how long they can ride it.
Like
they
a drive-by? Like
no,
or
like you'll
a
stop.
Carjacking?
Yeah, scooter jacking. They don't, not while you're going full speed, but you'll be stopped and they'll just run up and shove you down.
Just
like,
to get a lift?
And they take it off. They just run it. And then when it's out of, I talked about this on stage at the show too. When it's out of juice, they throw it in the harbor. So there's tons of them in the harbor, right? So then the bike share program, they didn't really want to share. They stole all the fucking bikes. All of them are stolen, okay? It's the only city in the world that's using the bike share program that this happened in. So they made a special Baltimore lock,
Lord.
And that didn't work. And now the bike share program is over, dude. There are people out there riding like those big lime-ass cream bikes or scrapping them. That's probably what they're doing is scrapping them for sure. They're just stealing them. That's all scrap metal and see
That's
you later.
Unbelievable.
This Baltimore dude, I have a different respect and fear from Baltimore. Another thing he would love to do is there's this one dude that would come over every Sunday and a lot of times he'd pass out. And this dude's move was he had like a gun and a Polaroid camera, and when this dude would pass out, they would just take pictures, like just gun to his forehead and like gun, like Jesus. Pretending like they're gonna kill him,
yeah.
And then put like those Polaroids like in his work locker or like in his coat, and he would just be like living his life and open like his work locker
There's
and just
a gun
see
to
a picture,
head.
And he's like, and it fucked this dude all up because he'd be
too.
Like, quit doing that,
yeah.
And it caused a lot of problems with this, and they would fuck with this dude so bad because I never met a dude like him, and he always had to shit, but if he had to shit, he had to take off all his clothes, like he was the manager, so they would fuck with him because
it's so funny.
He'd have to take off his shirt and tie to take a shit, like all the way off.
My cousin just said that to me the other day. She goes, when I was in Baltimore talking to her, she goes, "Do you remember when you were the first person that I had ever heard of that took all their clothes off to take a shit. And I was like, I did. I go, I don't even, I just do like a, I forgot one time. I totally forgot. I took my, I kind of remember, but forgot, but I took my shirt off and I'm at my friend's girlfriend's place and I take a shit and they don't, she doesn't have something before. And I come out and I go, hey, you have any soap or anything? And my, I just, I'll never forget my buddy going, he's got his shirt off. And I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, I got way too comfortable in there. Somebody else's house. You
that's
know?
A
like,
Seinfeld.
That's a good one right here, man.
George used to do that. And then he came out. He was dating this girl at her house. And he came out and everyone's looking at him from the bathroom. And he's like, you know, no shirt on. He's just like, okay. He, goes, he just grabs an eclair.
This dude, he would...
They at would mess, work, though. I
yeah, at work.
And I never like, did that at work, though.
No.
And I mean, they would just mess with him every single time. I was like, you would think he would just change, but they mess with this dude. But another thing about Franco is he was like, he loved like getting hookers and just sometimes we'd go meet him mm-hmm. after work and he would be like, and then he wouldn't show up and we'd be like, where were you? And he's like, he would just meet like hookers in Walmart. Like one time he met this hooker in Walmart, took her back
in
home.
In Vegas?
In Vegas. Because they had like late night Walmart, took her home.
Fuck. I mean, are they strolling there?
Yeah. I don't know. I think.
She might have just been picking up like,
that's
you know,
what I'm wondering. She might have been in there to pick up some fucking Saran wrap.
This dude's aggressive. He'd fire anyone and he'll always give a girl, like if he gets a girl's number and then he'll send him a message and then if they don't write back, he'll just send him dick pic every time. He calls it the black rose. He goes, I gave her one chance. She didn't reply. She got the black rose.
Oh my God.
He is like the crate, and this dude is.
That is ridiculous. That is absurd.
He would always get hookers, or he would always he'd get a lot of hookers off Craigslist. But one time he pulled this like streetwalker out of Walmart, and then he said he's fucking this girl, and he's like a Italian dude. He looks a lot like Sebastian.
Italian. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought I heard Owen.
No, and But he would always make him say the most like racist shit while he's having sex with him. So then he fucks this one girl and she goes out to smoke a cigarette. And then he showed us all these texts. She's like, hey, will you come out and piss on my feet while I smoke? And he's like, does it cost more money or whatever? So he does it. He goes and pisses.
That was free. It was a, yeah, that was cost.
It was
no
free.
Call.
And so he pisses. he pisses on this girl's feet. So then fast forward to the next Sunday, we all go over for football. And my best friend Justin had a dog that he was going to have his dick like cut, or whatever it's
spade
called,
or
spaded.
Neutered.
Yeah. So and Franco was like, "You're just going to let your dog just never get laid. You're just going to have him live that life." He's like, "You know what? Let me make a phone call." He calls that Walmart.
You got
street
a dog
girl.
Prostitute?
He asked her how much it would cost for her to come over and jerk off this dog. I swear to you. And he was going like back and forth with her, like, will you come jerk off this dog? And then he was, you know, he's pretty charming. So he's like, he's about to get neutered. We don't want him to go out like that. Really gave this whole sales
you
pitch.
You wear a rubber glove.
Trying to get a streetwalker to jerk off.
What'd she say?
She put a price. I don't remember what the price was.
Price.
And then everything has a price.
Businesswoman. She's a businesswoman.
Then she never actually came over and did it, so...
But dude, I thought you were going to say he knew somebody had a dog. Like, let my dog tap that ass real quick before he goes and gets the sniff.
That's what
like
I thought
a dog
it was
prostitute.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were just such degenerates because, like I said, so the craziest story, they would get off dinner and then everybody go to the bars. Like, you know, they get done with their shift. They have a bunch of money. They all do drugs and then they love video poker. So we'd go to these random bars and they would just, you know, you just drink and you come outside, it'd be daylight. But the craziest one is after work one night, everybody goes to the bars and one of the servers was going to fuck one of the dishwashers. So, and this dishwasher, like a Vegas dishwasher, barely speaks any English, like Mexican girl, probably just, you know, I don't know how she got there or whatever. So he's like, I think I'm going to go fuck this girl. And we're all like, go do it, you know, go do it. And he's like, all right. So he drives to this girl's house. He's fucking the dishwasher. In the middle of fucking her, her boyfriend comes home, catches him fucking her, freaks out, like, get out of the house, get out of here, kicks him out. He puts his clothes on. He comes back to the bar. Like a bunch of drunken idiots, we're like, dude, you can't just leave that girl like that. He's probably going to, like, beat the shit out of her.
Oh, my God.
You
shouldn't have. Back.
We sent him back. He goes back. When he goes back, the girl's sitting on her porch outside, like, crying. He drives by. He sees her on the porch crying. He, you know, he parks. Because the girlfriend's boyfriend was supposed to be at work all night. He parks. He goes up there, starts consoling her. They go back in. They start having sex again.
No.
The boyfriend comes in again this time.
No way.
I swear to God, comes in again. This time he freaks out, does try to like go at my friend. My friend grabs pants, grabs the wrong pants, grabs like the dude's pants as he runs out.
Oh my God.
Goes home, calls us the next day, tells us the story. And then that girl never went to work ever again.
Really?
So I don't know what happened. It might have been a very sad ending.
Probably had his road baby.
Might have took the road baby and left, but she, they never ever saw her again. And we were like, no way. We didn't think he'd actually go back, but it was just debauchery like that would happen. There's just no rules in Vegas.
No, clearly, there are no rules in Vegas.
It was, and when you live that industry lifestyle, those everybody just goes out and
yeah,
and the hookers, and massages, and like I became addicted to massage parlors because it was, I didn't know that you could just go get hand jobs and stuff. So mm-hmm. when I first moved there, my boss was like, "Hey, you guys. You know you can just go at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon," and we're like, "No way!" And he gave me and my best friend $100. Said, "Go in there, do this and that." And we went, and then I got a hand job in the middle of the day and a massage, and I was like, "Holy shit, this is awesome!" So then,
this is Vegas.
This is in Vegas, but you could do it in almost any town.
I feel like you could do way more than that in Vegas.
Yeah, well, they try to charge you more, but so then I realized how great it was, and then a lot of times. When we'd have a big night gambling, we'd go to the massage parlor at the end of the night if we couldn't get girls. And then my boss would pay for it all. But my boss is probably 43 at the time, 41. Then their right-hand man, like...
If it doesn't work out for you, hit the Walmart.
And then their muscle guy was like 31. And at the time, I was like 24. So then you go to the massage parlor, you ring the door. They see four dudes, out come four girls. Well, since my boss is paying for it all, out would come like a 23-year-old, a 31-year-old, a 41-year-old, a 44-year-old girl.
Oh, they
like
similar age to our appropriate. Age.
But my boss is paying for it all, so he'd pick the 23-year-old. My second boss would pick the. So then I'd always get this old lead. Like, but I mean,
your age.
Yeah,
you got the house. Well, you got the house, Bob.
Yeah, I got the old one, which I was.
You got Mrs. Garrett. Totally. Everybody else got the facts of life casting crew.
I always joke that was like the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours thing. Like that was always the best massage and hand job because sometimes I'd go by myself and I'd pick the young one and then.
Oh, you mean the seasoned veteran?
Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
But then a lot you could have sex with them if you paid more, and then I never did. But then I would go there, and it's shitty to say, but I would get really drunk, and then. Once you pay $100 for a hand job, the next day you're like mad at yourself. You're like, why did you do that? But when I was drunk, I was like, I'm not coming fast and make this girl earn
I feel the same
shit.
Way about McDonald's. I'm yeah. like, why did I do that?
So then one time I'm really drunk and she's trying to jerk me off, switching hands, and her arms are getting tired and stuff. And she's like, you too drunk. You too. And I'm like, no, we're close. And she's like, you blowjob? And I was like, okay. She's like, $100. I was like, okay.
So more?
Then, yeah, $100 more. So
now we're 200 in?
We're 200 in. Mm-hmm. You pay 60 for the massage, and then if you know the lingo, you just say, what you do is you walk in, you give them a $100 bill. It's $60 for an hour massage, and they bring back $40, and they put it on the nightstand by the thing. So then when they ask you if you want a hand job, they'll try to charge you like $100 for a hand job, but then you just point to the $40 and say, no, that. And they'll go, no. You go, yeah, that. And then they'll say yes. But so then she's like, you want a blowjob, $100. I was like, okay. So then she pulls out a condom, puts it on my dick, goes down on my dick one time, immediately gets super limp, can't get hard with a blowjob. With a condom, she takes it off. Then she goes back to jerking me off. Finally, I finish. And when if you ever go there, they bring you this little bitty cup of water. And then like a warm...
Like a dental cup?
Yeah, like the littlest dental cup.
Like rinse your mouth. Dixie cup.
Yeah, a little itty-bitty Dixie cup of cold water.
Proud
and then
sponsor
to
crap.
They bring out like a hot towel and they clean off your stomach and everything. So she cleans me all up and then I stand up and she's like... And I get dressed and then she's like, you owe... She's standing in front of me at the door. She's like, you owe $100. I was like, no, you didn't even blow me. You like went one time. No, she's like, $100. And I'm like embarrassed and I'm just looking at the floor and she's like, you, $100. I'm like, no. And as I'm looking at the floor, she just hauls off and slaps me in the face as hard as she... I mean, the hardest I've ever been hit. Slap me. Wham! And I was like...
Dick got instantly hard.
And we made a road, baby. No, and I was like, okay, I'll go get you $100 next door. And then I ran outside, got in my car, and just went home. I went to a different massage parlor from now on. But, man, she smacked me so hard.
Damn.
Hardest I've ever been
shit.
Hit. But, yeah, my boss's son would get me, like, gift certificates there for my birthday. And it was there was one year I probably spent $3,000 on massages.
I had a friend one time. I'm sure I've said this a long time ago, but he went to one. The same thing. The old lady was there, and...
He goes, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I got a massage the other day, and this lady was old. I was like, how old? Like 40s, like my grandma. I'm like, come on, dude. He goes, I did. She gave a great massage. And then she didn't ask him anything. She just turned him over and she started giving him a hand job. And I was like, you let some 60-some-year-old lady? He said, I couldn't say no. And then she kept going, you good boy. You tell no one. That's what she would whisper to him the whole
Garrett,
time.
Give it to him.
Mrs. Garrett. And did it right on a rag for him. Like, all it was all just the whole clean up and get you out of here.
No, they'd always bring out baby
veteran.
Oil. And they were good. They'd be good. They'd give good hand jobs. I vouch for him.
How do you... Because I've always said this about myself, like, I don't have a gambling problem, but when I'm in Vegas, I feel like I could easily have one. I always feel like I can win that next. Like, how do you not gamble? Is it because all the years of seeing the – is it easy?
Well, it's easy for me just because I can never –
But you don't ever bet on sports?
I'll bet little.
Or like a fight, like one event or a game?
I'll bet when I'm there, but – I can never get the adrenaline rush of what I used to. Because I used to bet everything I had. There was days when my life was like...
And didn't have.
And didn't have.
Let's make that real clear.
To be honest, like, it just does nothing. I would imagine if you were, like, doing heroin and then you could do, like, a vape pen or something. But you... For me to get even close to the rush that I used to have every day, I'd have to bet every dollar I have. And I'm just smarter than that.
Every day.
Yeah, so we would... You know, there was just the rushes of...
Well, I mean, that was his job.
Yeah.
And then he was just trying to get on top of it, you know?
But it's also someone else's money, which has to feel really fucking good.
Well, yeah, but everyone
always... As long as you're doing
it. Everyone always says that, but then it was always my money. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, that's someone else's money. I go,
if you win, it's someone else's. If you lose, it's yours.
So I said, if I don't have this money, when I have this money in my pocket, it's my money. Because if I lose it, you know, like one time I got my friend a job and he ran off with $6,000 of their money. And then I had to pay that, you know.
You did?
Yeah.
Because you got the guy the job?
Because I got the job and I vouched for him. And I was like, and he was my best friend. He worked there for a while and then he missed a girl. And then one day he just took off. And then I got a call like, hey, you know, luckily they were just starting him out. So they didn't give him a lot of money. Like I would always, if I was, there was times I thought about running off.
What's the most you ever held? Again, I can't remember. Six figures?
Oh, I had six figures with me every day.
Every day? Was it?
Every day. The most I ever had, I think, it's been so long. I think like
three. You ever have a million on you?
No. Like 350 maybe.
That's a lot.
350,000?
Yeah.
That's more than enough for people to kill you.
But this was legal too, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, pretty much
legal. So like if you did run with 350, these guys didn't sound like mobsters were like, they'll find you. But they could go to authorities and authorities could...
No. You can't go to authorities. But
so wait, why? If you bounce with 100 grand of their money...
It happened. Countless times when they had to change the rules.
But if it's legal, then why can't they have legal action to come get that money?
Well,
because it's cash and they can't prove it.
First of all, it's cash, and no one paid taxes what they were supposed to. You just didn't. So
you just don't want your books opened up. You're like, fuck it, we'll take that $100.
These guys have been doing that shit forever, so you never want any kind of law. You know they hate cops. They've dealt more with the FBI. Like when my boss got busted, he had to wear like the ankle monitor.
Why did they? Oh, because the tax, right?
No, what they got in trouble for? Well, one time they got in trouble is because there was a guy getting like.
Hold on, for everyone who maybe is just listening, you used to do what? They would give you money and you go place bets for them.
Yeah, I was a runner for some of the biggest gamblers in the world, and my job, I would carry like $100,000 and I would run up and down the strip and bet whatever they told me to bet every day
at different casinos.
Yeah,
the same bet at different casinos. Why wouldn't they just do it?
Bet and bet all bets all day.
Right, but let's say they wanted Duke against fucking NC State. Like you would go to six and put $20,000 at each casino on Duke.
Yeah, well, it was a numbers game when it's about to move. It'd be like knowing a stock's about to move.
How much money did they bet on a Buster Douglas win?
How much? Nah, they didn't have that. They probably so something like that. They don't. That's like a crazy penny.
That's
stock
Haley's
or something.
Comment that you just lose.
Only you only bet big like that when you knew something was like
what?
So like the example I always give. One time we knew the national anthem was pre-recorded, which was a huge thing. But we had to trust the agent that told us that, and then he had.
You can bet on that.
Yeah, it's like a big bet because only for the Super Bowl.
Right, I've seen these things like, and this is what I hear. Maybe you can answer this question. I see bets like, I remember when Beyonce came on the Super Bowl, they were like, what color outfit she going to wear? But what's stopping her from telling a cousin, I'm going to wear red, go bet $10 million on that? Yeah. What's stopping that?
Well, so what'll happen is, because that's what you could do, and that's when I moved to LA, I was like, you could get an advantage like that, but they're sharp. So the most you could bet on something like that, let's say, so when we knew the national anthem was and we
what Super Bowl was this?
This was a long time
ago. Pre-recorded, meaning they're lip singing it.
So the agent said that it's lip sync, so they knew the exact time. But you have to just trust a Hollywood agent. My guys are Midwest dudes that hate everything. They're like, I don't know about this fucking city slicker. But then we bet it, and then we. But then
how much did you bet?
So you'd have to manipulate it. So I'd go up and I'd bet the over. So I
how long it would be?
Was, so we knew it was going to be under like the 112 mark. So then we would bet a little under, but then we'd pop the over up. So people thought.
So you'd stack the over so it pushes it?
So the guy that runs Vegas, what he would do a lot, this guy Billy Walters, who at the time was the king, he would phony it up a lot. So then if
he's not going to phony it up right now.
Billy Walters! Get your ass in here, Billy.
Give him that line for that season.
So like
runs Vegas,
if,
you said.
Well, he's known as the guy that. So then if the Ravens are playing the Patriots and he liked. Let's say the Ravens were 7-point favorites against the Patriots.
Well, I mean, but what year is this?
2012.
But he, so
AFC
he,
champion.
He loves the, that was a good game. So he loves the Patriots, let's say. So then he would phony it up and make it look like he's on.
So he'd stack it on the
so
Patriots
he would,
side.
He would slip it out, or at the time we would follow his runners. So at one point we, the way we.
So wait, there's that many people he has, like that many like little worker ants going, bees going out into the city that
and
affects
why can't
the
he
bet?
Just, yeah, why can't he just go, instead of having like 10 guys go put 100,000 at different casinos, why can't he just put $1 million down?
Because they know he's Billy Walters. They won't. They know he's the smartest dude. So like they knew I was
they
smart.
They wouldn't take his bets?
So I could bet like 10,000. You guys could bet like 100,000.
Gotcha.
So, but the thing what Billy would do is.
Based on stupidity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once like.
Ignorance.
So my boss worked for Billy in the very beginning, and Billy would send him the games in the Midwest and have him go around and pick them off at bookies. Let's say bet Notre Dame -9 anywhere you can up to 11. But then my guy realized that Billy's games were so good. And then Billy'd give him a percentage of what he got. But my guy realized that Billy was so smart, he'd go out and he'd bet 9, 10, and 11 for Billy. But then he'd also bet 12, 13, 14 for himself.
Because like
Billy's
what you started doing.
Yeah, so Billy's numbers were so good. So then Billy would – if Billy put out a game, it would spread. Like, Billy's on this game. But over time, Billy realized that. So when Billy – you never knew what Billy was going to do. Because sometimes he'd do a phony. So then Billy'd be like, we are on the Ravens. Let's say he wanted Patriots +7. He'd put it out that he was on the Ravens. And then the public would be like, Billy likes the Ravens. They'd drive that shit up to 8.5. Then right before the game, Billy'd just crush it down to like 6. And take when he wanted to take Patriots +7, he'd have 8.5, 8, 7.5, 7 all the way down. And then that's when we'd be scrambling on the street. He'd be like, try to get me off this bet because now Billy phonied us and fucked us, you know. But the way we finally got around Billy is we paid, so we did everything on the Nextel, the beep beep things.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we paid a Nextel guy $25,000 to give us Nextel on Billy's frequency. So when Billy's came, because
they were, remember those? They were walkie talkies, basically.
So then when, beep, beep. But then I got in big trouble because you try to beat the other runners, and we had Billy's thing, but Billy's guys were older dudes from like Kentucky that wear suits and carry all this money and a gun, and I was a kid, and I wanted to make my bosses proud, so I would try to beat the other runners, but then Billy, so then Billy's putting out these games and Billy's guys aren't getting his games and he knew something was wrong. And then my boss called and was like, the word spread, like Billy's mad. He's like, yo, you can't be beating Billy's runners to Billy's games. Cause I was beating them. And then, but Billy didn't.
Because so then they would know that you're beating them. So then they wouldn't give Billy's guys. The
bets. And then Billy knew something was wrong. And so then they'd be like, cause my name was X. So then they'd tell me X, don't let Billy's guys bet because you're going to ruin this whole thing trying to, you know, be do good, good guy. So yeah, so the like the national anthem we knew one time, the one of the biggest fixes we thought we had is we used to pay caddies. Caddies would give us good information and we.
Golf caddies?
Yeah, and they were great.
Are there any other ones?
Well, there's a sugar caddy.
Murder caddy.
Jelly caddy.
So one time, this caddy told us that his guy had food poisoning and he was going to give it a go. But when you do golf matchups, as long as you tee off, it's a bet.
Oh, you're talking about pro golf.
Pro golf.
Like it's the, official
it's
if
official
you tee off.
If you tee off. Like in a football game, you have to get to like the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter. If for some reason.
What do you mean? For it to be an official
for
game?
For it to be an official bet. So like one time there was a big thing.
All the way that far in a game?
There was
the way
that far.
There was a big conspiracy theory in Vegas.
Well, hold on real quick, because the Super Bowl the year we were favored by 12 or more over the Patriots. So what happens? Like, let's say that game can't continue at halftime. None of those bets count.
That's a wash.
No shit.
So
you knew that?
Yeah.
That deep?
I didn't know it was that deep. I just knew. I mean, but it would, because
baseball
sense.
Is like what, 6.5 innings or something like that, or already 4.5. Yeah, but the official game.
An official game has to be 5, but an official bet probably has to be a little longer.
Yeah, I don't know, but we never did baseball. But there's a crazy story about. Wisconsin was playing UNLV in football. UNLV was always
I also want to say football is the only like outdoor sport that is like, I mean, when was the last time they canceled a game short?
Yeah.
Lightning.
You know what I mean? Baseball can get canceled easily.
But this is what happened. And I don't know if they've changed the rule from this, but I'll never forget this. Wisconsin came to play UNLV football. And UNLV,
wait a minute. Is Wisconsin, is that just west of Wisconsin?
That's west of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. These damn veneers. But they came out and everybody.
How you doing, all right? Got new teeth.
Everybody came out and all Wisconsin fans, they bet the shit out of Wisconsin. And then like 45 seconds before the cutoff for the game to be not count, someone like wrecked a car into the electricity box and they
blew the power out.
And then they had to like stop the game. And then those Wisconsin people didn't get credit for their bets. And everybody was so. It probably had to be. They swear it was like a coincidence. But I mean, because I'm sure it was like a fixed thing. But
I got
we have a witness here at the site of the crashing. His name is Franco. Franco.
I don't buy that fucking Super Bowl power outage was a coincidence either. I think that no one, and I don't think anyone thought we were going to run away with that game like that. And that certainly changed shit big time. Getting a bunch of old dudes waiting around 30 minutes on the field, getting tight and shit.
Yeah. So, and then for that golf one, and it was like.
All right. So dude tees off. He's not feeling well. How much money do you have on it?
Me personally, probably like 7,000 or 8,000. So I'd have to bet for them. We probably got down because now it's a golf matchup. You can't get as much as you want. And again, you don't want to trigger something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like you, like we were talking about, if Beyonce told somebody, and then if the books all of a sudden said 40 black people come up there and bet Beyonce's outfit, they're going to go, somebody's Beyonce's cousin right here. Let's take this down, you know? But for the golf thing, and it was like the game.
Although they'll remove the bet?
Yeah, they'll just take it off the board.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
So, or they'll just make it so lopsided where, okay,
you need to bet $10,000 to win $10.
Yeah. And then, so this time, and it was like the gambling gods were punishing us because me and my boss and his right-hand man, we had all got food poisoning like 2 weeks before, and we're like done. We had it, and we always worked, and that day we didn't work, which is unheard of. So when this guy calls us, he's like, my guy's got food poisoning. We're like, man, we know what that, you can't do shit with food poisoning. We got this. So we maneuvered, got down every dollar as we could till the tee time, and then this guy just goes like Jordan flu game, shoots like a 69, and we lose.
He did?
And then the caddy was like, sorry. But then they, you know, we knew he wasn't lying. They talked about him toughing through it and stuff, but we were like, you know, it's like, that's a gambling lesson I learned. If you think it's too good to be true, it always is. And that one got us. And
what's
then,
the most you won? What's the biggest lopsided
that you
game?
Won, not your boss.
You.
You know, well... There's a couple times.
Was it that Ravens Mile High Miracle?
That one. Well, that one saved me. That would have owed him. I would have owed him $53,000. So.
53 personal $1,000.
But the one time I got really lucky is
I met Jacoby Jones when I was home. I did. I just told him. I told him about that.
Buy him a beer for me.
9 phone books later, fucking moved on. Moved on to Foxborough player.
They, you know, I won. I had a huge bet on Sorensen not making. The cut, that one time she tried to golf against the dudes.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of inside information, like, she'll never make it. She's a girl, you know? Like one thing I didn't know, like, and Michael Costa, I talked about Costa about this, like, as great as Serena is, any D1 tennis player in the country will beat her 6-0, 6-0.
Is that true?
If you ask any, like, Costa will tell you that? Costa would.
I don't know, man.
That's what everyone thinks. But
a
like,
D1
like,
college player.
Will smoke Serena.
Smoke.
6-0, 6-0.
But they got to be legit D1. Because, I mean, there's a difference between D1 at, like, Stanford tennis versus Illinois where Costa went. Because Costa, is, he's out.
But so then we got information.
Wait. Uh-huh. I'll stir up a controversy. Did Costa say he could beat Serena in his heyday?
He would beat Serena right now.
Well,
dude, you got the power.
We got to get that on the Daily Show and get that shit set up right now.
The power is just
Billie
a
Jean
different
King.
Game. It's
well,
like
Serena is the most powerful female tennis player ever. Right?
Yeah, she serves at like 100 like miles an hour.
I know.
But, I would duck. I wouldn't even be able to duck. I wouldn't see it fucking coming.
Yeah. No, that
I would just hear that.
Costa would tell you he'd beat her right now. It's like I'd beat any girl basketball player in the world right now.
You think you could beat Lisa Leslie right now?
I would kill Lisa Leslie.
You are out of
Rebecca
your
Lobo
because
right
Pete
now.
Greer's you would just well, okay, maybe dunk on your ass.
There's like maybe four that could. Because I played with WNBA
Stephanie
girls.
Stephanie what's her name?
No.
Taraz. Yeah.
But if a girl's taller than me, I'm faster than her. And if she's smaller than me, I can just bully her. It's just a different strength.
She'll just take you outside.
Are we talking about horse or are we talking about
one-on-one? A real game. Anyone. I could beat Steph Curry and horse on the right day. Horse is luck. But if you really had to play, men are just more physical.
I understand that. I could see it in tennis.
God, I want to see
I could see it in tennis, but I do not think you could beat a one of the best female basketball players.
I think Lisa Leslie would put her titties on your head all day long, dunking over top of your head.
No way. You can get any girl you guys want. I'll play her $1,000 anytime, anywhere. Any girl in the world, I'll play
in
for
the
one
world.
I want.
Did you play high
school basketball?
Yeah, I played up until college, and I'm fat and out of shape now, but I'll still beat a girl.
That'd be like me saying I could go beat Mia Hamm right now, and she's not even playing anymore, and I'd still.
Yeah, but that's like
a team. I could slide tackle me.
You could slide tackle. You could slide tackle anybody.
I've argued this with dudes before, and it's like, look at like the Olympics. The fastest girl runner in any event wouldn't even qualify in any event.
You're talking about other Olympians. It's not against you.
It's not a men-women. It's like people take it so different. It's just a different style of game.
Forget about the sex. Take the size and the strength and the power of Lisa Leslie. Oh, she's taller than me,
but why do you think she's stronger or faster than me? I guarantee I'm faster than she is.
But again, it doesn't need to be strong, too. It's smart. Like, she could fake you out and spin around and fucking underhand layup.
I didn't know how to play basketball.
She's got skills. She's got professional skills. WNBA professional skills. They're professional skills.
Well, I don't know, but
that's what you need to fucking set
up. If anybody's out there, I got $1,000.
Why don't you have Barstool Sports?
Cash.
Let's talk about that in a minute. Why don't you petition Barstool Sports right now for that?
Well, I just don't think anybody cares is the problem.
I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
We can find out. No doubt. Yeah, there's maybe a couple that beat me, but we'll see. I don't know. Let's get a game one day. If you guys know anybody good.
We'll work it out.
Or give me a... I'm trying to figure out who I'd want to play. It's weird being back here in L.A., you don't see celebrities in Denver.
Or if you do, everyone's like, or actually, do they? Do they freak out or are they just chill?
They're pretty chill.
Everybody's so high.
Like Rick Pitino was walking by the comedy club the other night and everyone was all confused. But that's the one thing.
Was he in town for something?
I don't know. No one knew what he was doing. Looking
for a job.
Yeah. Right,
maybe.
He says he wants to coach in the NBA.
But that was the one thing I do miss about LA is like, we saw this famous dude last night from. You guys watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something?
Mm-hmm. I know. There's
this dude. He's in everything. His name's like Jolo. Anyway, I don't know. But it reminded me of like. That's the one thing I missed. And I always tell this story back home. Whenever I'm. You know, when you guys go somewhere, they're always like, do you see famous people and stuff? And this is my favorite famous person story is Jeff, who's my best friend. He would get me in these weird situations. So my favorite L.A. story is we did a celebrity golf tournament in the morning.
In L.A.?
In L.A. at some beautiful course. Mm-hmm. where they give us like free stuff, clubs. They had the big In-N-Out thing. And we played behind like Tom Morello, the dude from Rage. And like it was like the coolest. All these old baseball players were there. But then that night, he's like, you want to go out to dinner? And he did that show with Terry Bradshaw and Henry Winkler and those guys. So he's like, you want to go to dinner? We're going to Mr. Chow. And I'd always heard of Mr. Chow in Beverly Hills. So we go to Mr. Chow. And it's me and Jeff and then Henry Winkler and Terry Bradshaw and their wives. And we sit down at this.
And their wives, right?
So we
are their wives cool that you guys are there?
Super cool. It's just so weird. And it's funny. Jeff at the time had like a girlfriend. And he didn't bring her. It caused a lot of beef. Like, why didn't you bring me? Why did you bring Brent? I'm like, shut up. Let me go to this cool shit. But yeah. I'll never forget. So we go there. And we'd hung out with Terry a lot. And I'd hung out with Henry a little bit. And like, I don't know if you guys ever met Henry Winkler. He's the sweetest guy in the whole entire
never
world.
Have,
the,
but he seems
I think
like it.
The nicest celebrity. So we sit he down. Is. The nicest. And we sit down at this middle table in the middle of Mr. Chow. And there's celebrities and people all around. But everybody knows Terry and knows you know, the font. So we're sitting there, and Henry Winkler's asking me stuff like, "You ever been here before?" And I'm just like, "No." It's like, "You know what? Let me order for you." And so he's just the best.
I love when someone steps up like that's been there. I like that he asked, because I've heard stories about people who don't ask. They're just like, I'm going to order for you. And they were like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
But that's awesome that he asked and did that, because I think that's such a baller move.
He was just so sweet. And then he's talking to me about Wyoming and they're ordering champagne. And then, you know, we look at the menu and, you know, when you're with famous people, you always assume
they're getting it.
Yeah, but they also live in fear. Like, God, if somehow we cut this check, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is all the money I have in life. So we're ordering all this food and drinking champagne, and Henry wasn't drinking, but Terry starts drinking. He starts telling these incredible stories.
Like football stories?
Just football stories. And because Henry's like, I got to go to a book signing tomorrow and all this. And Terry's just like, Henry, how do you put up with all those people? Terry tells a story. He goes, when I was quarterback for the Steelers, he's like, I'd in practice and these little shithead kids would want autographs and I just want to get to the locker room. And he said, sometimes they'd just be walking in front of me and I'd just take my cleats and just step on these kids' shoes to get them out of the way. And Henry Winkler's just like, what? And then, so Terry's like, Henry, why? How do you do it? And Henry's just so sweet. He's like, you know what? Every person just wants their moment with you. They just look them in the eye for 3 seconds. And just give them their moment. That's all they want. Then they'll leave you alone. And Terry's like, I don't know. I don't know. And, I mean, Terry's like the funniest guy, and he's telling all these crazy stories.
Do you tell the one where he was supposedly knocked out in that Dallas Cowboys game and apparently shit himself? Like, he got hit so hard he got knocked out and actually shit his pants?
No. I mean, I'll ask him next
time. I want to know if that's true.
I'm sure
if that's just
true.
Some, like, NFL rumor. You know what I mean?
But he's just holding court. You know, he's just such a great storyteller. And then people are coming by, and Terry's just being Terry, and then he starts talking about UFC. He's like, these idiot UFC guys, you know, they got these weird ears, or like they're just stupid. He's acting like they're just like apes, like gorillas, like woo, woo, woo. And it's making Henry's wife laugh so hard, and she's like, keep doing it. He just woo, 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 woo. And she laughs and laughs, and then out of nowhere, we're finishing up dinner. All of a sudden, over my left shoulder, this dude just goes, "Hey, Terry, I was at Fox today looking for you. Where are you at?" You know, and I look up, and it's Dana White standing there after he was just doing all this UFC stuff. Classic. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And then in that moment, someone puts their hands on my shoulders, like I know him or something, and leans into the table.
It's Chachi.
No, leans into the table and is like, "What's up, Terry?" And I look up over my head, just look back, and it's Aaron Rodgers and Olivia.
With his hands on your shoulders?
Hands on my shoulders, like we're old friends. And he's just...
Say it, go!
Yeah, and then Olivia Munn's standing there with him, and I'm like... Oh, my God. And the Broncos are about to
play. Is that his lady?
Yeah, it was at the time. And then, so Terry...
Sounds like you might have been able to go home with him, though.
Yeah. And then Terry and Aaron are talking about... They had to go to the Super Bowl like a week later for the all-time MVP thing. And, you know, Broncos are playing in the Super Bowl. I'd give anything to go there. And they're both just like, ugh, I don't want to go. And Terry's like, yeah, I don't want to go walk out
at halftime. It's like they're fucking Oscars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to sit there for 6 hours.
So
once you peel behind that curtain, it's all different, man.
It was crazy. So then they're sitting there talking.
Especially when they're not in it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What do I need to be there for?
They could
show a fucking video of me. I'm right here.
They could care less. And, you know, as a big Bronco fan.
I'm eating with the Fonz.
I'm asking them, like, hey, who you guys think? They're both. I'm asking them who they think they're going to win. They're like, we don't. They really don't give a shit. Like Carolina, Denver, whatever. We don't even want to go there. So those three hang out for a little bit. And
what three?
Olivia Munn, Aaron Rodgers, and Dana White just hang out while we're eating dessert. Just kind of stand around talking for like 10 minutes. And then
who are you talking to?
I'm just kind of sitting there in the middle watching. You know, I tried to make a little conversation with Dana White because I used to see him a lot in Vegas. But he was nice. But, you know, they were all nice to me just because of where I was sitting. But
yeah. Did maybe, you have a hat on?
Yeah, for sure. We came right from the golf course. I definitely was underdressed for Mr. Chow, and it was definitely out of my element. And because we had like 7 waiters for the table, just crazy shit, you know. But then at the end, so then Aaron and everybody says bye, and as Aaron and Olivia and
all right, Aaron,
yeah,
just got double checked, bye.
But then they leave, and as we're sitting there, Henry Winkler's just like, man, that's Aaron Rodgers. He's like the best quarterback. I can't believe that. That's Aaron Rodgers. He's like the best quarterback.
He's really sweet like that.
He's Terry Bradshaw.
So then, greatest ever. Right?
Yeah. So then he goes, you know what? I'm going to go say something to him. Even though Aaron has been there, Henry pops up and he runs outside like a little kid, just the sweetest guy. And he walks up, and he goes and he tells Aaron, and you can see Terry just like, what the fuck? And he, Terry's drinking champagne, and then Henry comes back like 5 minutes later, and he sits down. He's like, that Aaron Rodgers, man, he's just like, he's like the best quarterback. And Terry just looks at Henry Winkler. He goes, Henry, let me tell you something. If he threw his Super Bowl ring out on the table, it'd bounce around a little bit. He goes, if I took my Super Bowl rings out and threw them on the table, it'd fuck a bunch of shit up. And we were like,
that's
hilarious. He just discount double checked him. And Henry's like, oh, yeah, I forgot you're like four-time.
It ain't five, though,
yeah.
Terry.
Yeah.
It ain't five.
You know what I'm saying, T-Baby?
I think it's only Tom Brady and Charles Haley have five. I feel like old Charles bouncing between the 49ers and Cowboys back in the day got the thumb. I feel like he did.
Well, it sucks that Tom won it just for that reason, because Jeff and everybody would always mess with him and be like, you know, my favorite quarterback, number 12, four-time Super Bowl winner, TB. And Terry would be like, yeah. And he'd be like, Tom Brady. it was just the easiest joke setup ever. And he's totally. Now he can't even do it anymore. But, yeah, Henry, we went to Henry's house one time, and he just had the most incredible house. And then you would never know he was Henry Winkler. And I finally pulled him aside. I go, hey, come on, where's, like, the room to show off room? And he's like, you know, we don't – it's like, come on, man, just let me see. And then he took me into this
Al's restaurant out back.
This secret little room. And then I just open it, and there's just like Emmys and awards and autograph. Oh, yeah. Some weird reason, autograph football by Elway, and then autograph football by Manning that he had just got.
But
like,
not
that week.
Terry Bradshaw.
No, I didn't care about Terry Bradshaw.
Right there, you could get one.
But he was like,
is he a Denver guy?
No, he just bought some. He was at some charity thing, and he's like, I just bought those the other day because I like those guys are nice guys. Peyton Manning, you know, and he just, I mean, I never, one time Jeff wanted some Yeezys, and then Henry's wife had them on, like Kanye's shoes that are like $800. And he was like, I forget her name, but he's like, are you wearing Yeezys? And she's like, oh, yeah, Kim. Kim was like best friends with our daughter. Well, you want some Yeezys? Hold on. And she just texts Kim. And then like 3 days later, Yeezys show up at Jeff's house that Kim just sent over because Henry Winkler's. I was like, that's your shoe connect is Henry Winkler.
I mean, come on, dude. Man.
But yeah, he was the
coolest. He's like, I'm wearing these Echoes.
We would go to Fox and watch football on Sundays, which is like the coolest thing. And
I've been there before when I worked on it, and I got to go in there, and it's fucking great. They're all there. Strahan and everybody was there.
I was there for 2 years, every single game.
Yeah, he was the...
Oh, you were in there? So you know the avocado room where everybody hangs?
Mm-hmm. I was there every single week because I was working for Fox for the NFL. So Sunday I was there. That woman, I get cream cheese bagel and lox. I'd sit down and start tweeting. Piers
Morgan
would be
in. The best place to watch the game.
Yeah, so many random people would come in. The one part of the story I always tell about that is Randy Moss was working at the time, and I loved Randy Moss.
Me too.
And he was so ghetto that you guys know they have the best catered food in there. Mm-hmm. They do a breakfast and a lunch. Randy Moss every time would go to Cheese Factory, get his own food, bring it in, have to have this hot sauce. And Champ Bailey would
Like special order from Cheesecake?
Yeah. And no, he would go pick it up and then come back with these two bags of Cheesecake Factory and then sit up there. And we were like, how do you not eat? I mean, this was incredible catered food. And he was just so hillbilly and have to get his hot sauce. That's all he kept back there is this hot sauce for Randy Moss. He could put on his like chitlins or something while the rest of us are eating like salmon and steak.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It was cool in there, and then I only had one. Shannon Sharp came one time, and he just could give a shit less. I'm just sitting next to him, and he's on two phones. I'm like, hey, man, I'm a big Bronco fan. He's like, just could care less.
He didn't say a word?
I mean, he was like, yeah. I mean, he didn't. Where it's so weird because Strahan's so nice, and Terry's so nice, and like Jimmy kind of hung out in his room, and Howie would stay in that room and watch his kids. But
I was there one day, and it was like late in the afternoon, and like the late game, like that 4 o'clock, you know, what would have come on here? That 1 o'clock game was going past four. It was like empty. Yeah. They're just waiting for the last game. And Howie Long sitting next to me. No, his son, the one.
Jake?
I can't remember. The one
Chris,
who went to, the one who started Florida State for baseball and then ended up going to like, then playing football down south and then went to Oregon. You know, anyway. So he's sitting next to me and he's at that community college down in Mission Viejo or whatever. And he had a game on Saturday. Now he's sitting next to Howie and Howie's like, yeah, but you got to understand, like the one who's an O lineman.
I think it's Jake.
Okay, yeah. Jake Long. So Howie's like telling him, he's like, you got to get up. And Howie's standing up. He's like, you got to get your hands up underneath him, and you got to be able to press
and
him.
And he's a defensive guy telling him.
Yeah, of course, because he went up against the offense.
Right, exactly.
And I'm just sitting
and
there.
And he's
like,
also a Hall of fucking Famer.
Yeah, he's Howie fucking every number 75
action
Raiders
star
jersey.
Yeah.
He's damn right,
flat
man.
Flat top.
Broken
still
that rock. Arrow! He's such a bad – it was the coolest thing. I'm watching this guy tell his son – they're both going to be professional athletes. That was super cool. And then another time I was in
there. I bought a pickup truck I don't even need because of Howie Long.
You know what I'm saying? Man, he made me a Christian Slater fan. So I was in there. I used to always sit, you know, like you step down and there's that wall, that row of seats. I'd always sit right there. And it was Giants, Pats. And I had my friend in with me because we're Pats guys. So I like every now and then I could just get a friend in there. And it was another late game. And Strahan had his like his hairdresser in there. Like his hair guy, who's also from New York. And the back TV by the bar was on a different feed than the game up on the wall.
The faster feed.
Yeah. And Strahan's got that same feed in the other room, right? So his boy's back here watching the feed over here. And he'd be like, oh, baby! Every time something was happening. And like we're like, dude, come on, have a little room etiquette. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to watch that TV, don't be spoiling over here. And then Strahan started doing it from... because he knew I was a Pats fan, and so he was doing that, and I tweet out as the Fox robot, because that's what I used to do.
This is what Jay does.
I'm like, Michael Strahan being completely unprofessional in the green room right now at Fox. Like, know your place. Like
you
like,
said know your place?
I don't know what I said. Something along the lines like, hey, you know, it's sports, blah, 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 and Strahan pops out, and he goes, you got something to say to me?
He knew you were the robot?
Yeah, I mean, they all knew that was my job, and I go... huh? You know what I mean? Michael Strahan.
He's a big boy.
He's a big dude. He goes, you got something to say to me, you say it to me. Don't be taking it out on Twitter and making this some kind of thing, business thing, when this is personal. And I was like, all right. And then he goes, I'm just fucking with you. And I was just like, I'm like, God. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to get my ass whooped by Strahan and his fucking hairdresser.
I just want to climb up in that gap and just curl up and die. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
God, that's scary.
Yeah, but he was super nice. They were all super nice.
I had a weird moment just the other day like that. I went on a date with a girl and we're sitting at lunch and I'm like, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? You go hang out with your family or what do you got going on? And she's like, unfortunately, my parents have passed away and my brother's in jail for a long time. And I've been watching these. I want to rob a bank is like my dream. I've been watching these stupid
things. Did you ask?
And I go, was he in jail for, what'd he do, like rob a bank or something cool? And she just goes, no, he killed my mom. And I was like, oh.
That's what I thought you were going to ask.
No.
I thought you were going to joke.
No, I was like excited. Literally, I was like, what, did he rob a bank or something? And just straight face, she's like, no, he killed my mom.
And you were like, holy shit, this is kismet. I tried to kill my dad.
Yeah. I think we're meant to be.
I didn't even know.
I think this is fucking
two
forever.
Two more Jamba Juices right here.
Yeah, it was like it was an interesting end of the
man,
day.
Man, you should have tied that one down.
So you're like, so are you not going home for Thanksgiving?
Together, yeah. Y'all killed a family. I mean, God.
Yeah, sounds like a cool brother-in-law. You could have
where the fuck
out.
Was he 20, 30
Never
years
a dull
ago.
Moment.
Yeah. I still need him. I still haven't talked to my dad. He's somewhere in Vegas.
That's what I wanted to ask you. There has to be a follow-up. So he ran out of that garage, and from that moment, you've never seen her, no letter, email, no community, no social media, nothing.
Nothing. So he, and I've tried to.
You have?
No. I don't want to talk to him ever, but I talked to my uncle a little bit, and then my grandparents, who took his side. I don't talk to anybody really on that side of the family. My grandparents were celebrating like their 60th wedding anniversary.
These are his parents?
Yeah. So then I asked one of my cousins, I was like, hey, if. You know, because they're always like, hey, will you come to stuff? I was like, I won't do anything until my dad's gone. I won't have any contact with the family. And then I said, so I reached out to my cousin. I go, hey, if my dad's there, can you just try to sneak a picture of him? Or because I don't know what he, and I still do Vegas a lot. And so he could just show up.
There?
He's definitely there. But then,
how do you know that?
So my uncle tells me, like, he goes, my uncle sees him once in a while. And then,
is your uncle in Vegas?
Yeah. And then one of his friends, like my dad's friends, reached out to me and tried to find my dad. And then I guess he lives in some house and wants to be like a recluse, doesn't want to talk to anybody. But, you know, like when I do the MGM, my name is big on the billboard and they advertise.
There's no way he's missing it.
Yeah. So I always live in, you know,
unless what's he do downtown? You
know? I don't know. No one talks to him. I don't know. I don't think he does anything. I know he has like hepatitis C or something. And I think he convinced some lady to give him a house somehow. My dad's like a smooth talker. And all I know is some lady gave him a house. He has hepatitis C and he's probably not doing that good. And that he told one of his friends that tried to find him that he just wants to be a recluse, doesn't want to talk to anybody. But every time I'm there, because I'm still like, he's going to show up one of these times, you know. Or hopefully he does. I don't want to jinx it, but I wouldn't even know. like the story I told you guys originally, when I went to the airport, I didn't know what my dad looks like. And to this point now, I don't know.
You think you would know?
I don't know. I mean, it's like 18, 19 years.
If he walked up and stared at you, you'd know.
I probably would.
100%. You would.
But the last picture, I have a picture of him, and he has like long hair. So, but I can't imagine him still having long hair or like.
It wouldn't matter. You would know him. Unless he's bald and had a beard and now he's shaven and like his face is sunken in because he's sick or something like that, you'll probably know him.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't even tell like the door staff. I don't know. I just don't. I'm just hoping it doesn't happen. But
what, that he shows up?
That he never shows up. I mean, I just want him to die. Just be over closure, you know, like. He'll never get to meet my road baby. None of that.
No.
Like, there's no, like, baby. Fixing it. So when I tell people that, you know, and I talk about it a little in the book, it's like, when I talk to that girl about it, it's like, I just want my dad to die. And it's very aggressive to say out loud, but I'm like, there's no fixing what he's done. So the fact, only bad can happen now, you know? So it would just be the perfect ending. I'm just waiting for that phone call. It's like, dude, he's dead. And then I wouldn't have to worry.
Even if he came to you and was like with repentance?
No, nothing. Like, no, there's no...
I'm sure if repentance is a word either.
There's
I'm pretty sure it is.
I don't know. You're throwing out a lot of Scrabble shit where I'd definitely be challenging. I can tell you.
There is no... Even like money or anything, there's no... I just don't... And at this point, it's been so long, I don't care. You know, people are always like, do you think about him? I go, maybe on like Father's Day or if someone says something. But never in my everyday life do I. You know?
I felt the exact same way. About my mother until I had a kid, and your road baby's going to change everything for you. You'll see. It just does. It just changes who you are.
Well, I hope it changes a lot about me, but I don't think it's going to change that. First of all, my dad's...
By the way, it's if he makes that move is what I mean, by the way.
Oh, I still wouldn't, because I couldn't trust him around my kid anyway. He's an awful... I wouldn't want anybody around him. Hopefully he will. I mean, hopefully just before the road baby comes out 9 months from tonight.
Tonight
in San Diego. No, I don't want to put that out there. No, but so there's. I got Ronnie Huffendick. He's still around. He'll take care of
the man. Ronnie,
that's true, man.
Ronnie Huffendick. He's got a sugar mama in Phoenix. Ronnie Huffendick was living in the bus in Wyoming, and now he traded all in for. He's got two houses in
two.
He lives in a house with this lady, and then her mom like owns a house across. So none of us get to meet. The new Mrs. Huffman.
Why?
I don't know. I don't think he's proud. I don't know.
How long has he been with her?
Well, he won't ever say he's like with her, but we're like, dude, you're staying with this lady.
In her two houses.
Yeah. So we're just like happy.
But you keep in touch with him.
Yeah. I talk to him all the time. And when he's in Wyoming in the summers and then during the winters, he goes to Phoenix. So we go hang out in the summer. And
you don't ever see him doing shows?
Yeah, he'll come to any shows in Phoenix. Or like I take him to spring training.
But he doesn't bring the lady?
No, I don't know. And my little sister always asks, and it's like, he's so sneaky about it. Like, how ugly is this lady, Ron?
Or what is the real deal?
Yeah.
Is it a lady at all?
I saw her one time. Well, we'd be fine with that, too. I did see her one time when I was driving by to pick him up.
Listen, guys, I want her in a fucking football fantasy league.
Ronnie Huffendick, he loves the feasters.
Well... I still see people calling him Ronnie Huff and Pussy and all that shit from back in the day.
People still shout it. People ask me. They'll go, how's Jay? How's Ryan? How's Ronnie Huff and Dick?
It's amazing.
They love you guys more than Ronnie Huff and Dick, but it's a close. It's coming down the wire, so.
Well, speaking of coming down the wire, brother, We did it, man. Thank you.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you for coming on every time you've come on. Thank you for always being a great guest and a good dude. And one more time, promote whatever you'd like.
Just my podcast at 31. If you haven't got my book, pick it up. I'm finishing another book. It'll be out in a while. And then... if you're anywhere near Denver, hit me up. Or if you see me anywhere, as always, feasters get free tickets for life. So if
you heard that, get that. You don't even need to land me.
Yeah. Just hit me up. You don't have to sneak in. I got you. Just shoot me a message. And well, thank you guys. Like I said, all this shit that I got was started. Any momentum I had in LA was from the first time I
it's pretty awesome,
reached
though, isn't
out
it?
To you
it
and said.
It feels awesome.
And it's gave me. It motivates me other ways because I want to do the podcast, and then I reach out to you and I just said, hey, man, if you ever have a last minute, and I give that advice to people all the time. I go, all I did, I want to be on the Crab Feast. I wasn't famous. I wasn't anybody. And I just sent him. I just said, hey, drop of a dime. I'll be there any second. And then one time you guys needed me, and then And then it just was rolling from there. But like, this is not happening. Never happens without you guys, the fans, my Chipotle on the road. I'm telling you guys, helped me more than you'll ever know. So I will definitely miss this show. Too. You guys have been so good to me. So thank you guys.
Well, come on the next one.
Cool.
Great to have you, buddy.
Yeah.
And great to be with you guys. JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.